Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby, make it hot. Ride the cop till you hit the spot. Tell my baby, make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee.
And welcome to the middle of nowhere. Otherwise known as Naked Summer's Eye Contact Radio Hour, where we try to overcome the loss of the will to live and try to make it through the rest of the week. This hour is for us. It's our therapy. You happen to be listening.
It has to be five a week. Ugh.
Yes, it really is.
When are we switching?
It's over on the 8th.
On the 8th?
And then the come in to clean us up.
Well, that's yeah. Not really much better, is it?
Well, I don't know. Do we have a dog noise on here? Barking or anything?
Well, I could ask the dog to bark since he barks on every show.
You could just kick your dog. Yeah, that would work, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we actually have, we got Heckle and Jekyll, we've got,
no dogs?
Snaggletooth, no, Yosemite Sam.
Hmm.
No.
All right, well, no dogs.
No.
Have to settle for this. Yeah. The unofficial symbol, noise for the dog days, that we're in, kind of started a while ago, we're going to be in them until the 16th of the month. So it's the somatic Matterhorn that we're climbing right now. So if you're kind of listless, a little fed up, a little fanob, a little irritable, a little kind of like, yeah, if you're in that mode, you are in the dog days, and you are cleaning house, as it were, because once we get to the other side of this, there you go. Once we get to the other side of this full moon on the 16th, we start preparing for the transition to the next cycle into the fall and things
like
that.
I love the fall.
So,
the fall is the best.
So this is supposed to be the time of the year where we're at the peak of our powers and on the outside, but on the inside we're sort of in a valley. And, you know, how do you overcome that? That's what we're going to be trying to get into tonight, and also give you some news and updates about what's going on all over the website, because believe me, it is a cluster F over there.
Yeah, well, we keep it interesting anyway.
Yeah, interesting. That's a good term for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So.
Yeah, Charlie, Candy Mountain. It's a land of sweets and joy and joyness.
Please stop bouncing on.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
Hey, I have this little thing that I want to play for the listeners.
Oh, all right.
Shall we do that now?
This is this contest thing you were talking about?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. All of you listening and all of you archiving and all of you pretending to archive, I give you now the contest that I have no idea about.
That's right. You know, I was playing with some audio software, so I came up with this little thing. I made a mix of different audio clips. Some of them are movies and some of them are things that we play on the show, and one of them is a mystery thing, and I put them together. So here's the deal. You have to email us at nakedsoma@gmail.com and identify as many clips as you can. You could tell me what movie they're from, what TV show, who the character is, whatever you can get out of it. And the person who is the most accurate will get something from us. We'll send them a little audio or some, you know, one of our goodies. So we're going to play it now, and then if we have a couple seconds at the end of the show, we'll play it again because it goes by kind of fast. All right, and you can play along because you haven't heard this yet.
Right.
All right, here it goes.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Oh, God, what is that?
It's a Leopleurodon, Charlie. Magical Leopleurodon.
Get a fucking haircut. Looks like your mother fucked a monkey.
How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me.
Good riddance, fuckface. So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
You see, motherfuckers, vagina power is a motherfucking revolution, dammit. We're going to have to offend somebody.
fee-fi-fili-i-o. Strumming on the old banjo.
That's a good menage there.
I laugh every time I hear that last one. Oh, that is just too good. Yeah. Did you like that little combo I did on the Revolution?
That was it definitely was timely. You know, we're still sort of in the afterglow of the John Adams DVD.
Mhm. Mhm. So if you guys can figure out, you know, where that stuff was from or who it was, let us know. Some of the stuff we play on the show.
So I don't know what the heck that's all about, but hopefully some of you picked up on it. If you're a new listener to the show, this is the portion of the program where we make absolutely no attempt to make sense.
Yeah, we like this part.
Speaking of that, is I'm not in front of a Google or a Yahoo here. Has Mr. Favre been deposited in Florida yet, or what's going on with Brett Favre today? As the Favre turns, never has a Philo wasted more time and energy of more people than this guy.
Let's see. Any news? Let's see. No, well, let's see. There was something an hour ago.
So he still hasn't been traded. Okay. For all you that have no interest in this, I'll give you kind of a little bird's eye view. Brett Favre, famous quarterback, of course, for the last 3 years has retired and unretired after every season. This year with a full-blown press conference and tears and crying. And then after two attempts by the team itself, Green Bay Packers, to facilitate him unretiring, he said, no, I'm staying retired. And then, about 3 weeks ago before camp started, went, I want to come back. They not only drafted a quarterback, they had another quarterback waiting to take his place, and then they have another quarterback that they picked up in a couple of rounds later. So they have three quarterbacks to replace this guy, and he comes back, I want to come back. And, of course, the team is now in a little bit of a pickle. So it's really been a big soap opera, but long story short, they offered him last week over $25 million to stay retired.
I wish somebody would offer me that.
I'll take five, and you'll never see me again.
Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind. It's so much money to just keep a guy at bay.
Well, it's one of those things where it's sort of a learning curve. It's like, what is this guy all about? Now, he wants to be released from his 20-something million-dollar contract that he's still under to go play for a team in the Packers division, either the Vikings or the Bears, which is bizarre and also pretty lame of him as a teammate to say, I could care less about you guys. I just want to play. And because the Packers, of course, had two options. They could have just stuffed him on the bench and had, like, a riot going on all over the state of Wisconsin as this guy's, like, a $12 million backup or whatever he is, or they have to trade him, outside the division. So it's been an interesting little spectacle, and I guess, did you check and see, has anything happened? I haven't got a chance to look in the last couple of hours.
The only thing that's up here is, pressing the wrong button, and away it goes. The Bucks coach dodges questions about, that's all.
So he's still hanging in the air. He hasn't been traded. That's amazing. Because this morning you would have thought that there was a parade in Tampa for him.
The trade talk heats up as Packers move on.
Oh, man.
The deal to the Bucks nearly complete.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of different reports here, and none of them seem to be jiving.
Well, there's going to be a lot of that until they actually land them. But the whole point of the story is that this is what happens when a Philo tries to onto. And I'll give you, the translation of that here in a couple of seconds. All right, you have 80% of the population has basically occupied two seats in the somatic cinema, in the movie theater of the mind. And seven out of those 10 seats in the movie theater are occupied by what we call the Philos. These are the people that love to manipulate and sort of fester in their relationships and their drama. So his identity could not handle leaving the stage and being just an old ex-athlete, right? He's 38 or 39 years old. So for 3 years, he's tortured this poor team, because that's what happens when you have a big star. He's gotten, you know, for, I don't know, most of his life, he's been told he's Jesus. And all of a sudden, he's just an old sape that used to play football. And I think it caused him all kinds of consternation.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's supposedly the leader, the quarterback, the whole thing, his whole dialogue with himself, it was almost like an Othello thing. It was amazing. To watch this guy go through this publicly, and then all the scuttlebutt behind the scenes, forget about the GM and the O and all that stuff. If you guys are even interested in this stuff, you can go read about it on ESPN and all that. It's that he's manipulated two situations. He's manipulated his own career path, and he's also been keeping this other guy, Aaron Rodgers, basically on the bench. Now, Aaron Rodgers is an eco, so, of course, he's used to being screwed over. So he takes it in stride, doesn't get upset, doesn't balk, doesn't hold out, doesn't cause any problems, and all he does is get the eco shaft. So it's making me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Making me nuts.
Well, hopefully.
Anyway.
They'll
oh, my God.
What? Oh, no, not the game. What
yes,
happened?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Unbelievable. Right to him, and he drops it. David Wright, Philo in the night. Again, if you're watching baseball at night, the Philos have very poor night vision, and the coordination drops off at the sundown, like a little kid. And there it is. All he had to do was pick that up and step on third, and we're out of the inning. Unbelievable.
You
but
know,
losing 3-2. Yeah.
I wish some of these coaches would call you up, because you could really straighten them out.
Well, I would basically know when S is about to happen. So
yeah.
Pedro can't win.
I'll tell you, the time that we were hanging out at LT's and the game was on, and you were just predicting pretty much everything that was going on before it happened, it just blew my mind.
One thing about this work, and if you haven't picked up what we do, you can go over to NakedSoma.com and download the S-List, our little free PDF that gets you kind of oriented about it, is that as you're developing, as you're understanding yourself and kind of growing a brain, you get this subjective position inside that says, this is the way I'm going to perceive reality. And this becomes the groundwork, the sort of the foundation for what becomes eventually your identity. After the age of 25, though, those other three perspectives that you biologically cannot occupy as much, if they're not there to support you, if they're not there to help you out, they will fragment you a lot and they will lead you astray. So what happens is that your social identity, which you have to learn how to sprechenzie other somatic domains, in order to interact with other people and acquire new behaviors, because it becomes very difficult to change the old ones after the age of 30, your system has to kind of rewire itself. And that's why when you see people going through a lot of midlife crises and they're aging quicker and all that, it has to do with this sort of unexplored little biological template that we've put together for you here in Naked Soma. And what we're talking about tonight is how the seasonal cycles work within the lunar cycles, because this is another biological thing that's happening parallel to the world you live in, and it's affecting behavior. And it affects behavior in a very subtle way. Let's see what happens here. Beltran goes back to left center, makes the catch. So if Wright could just do his job, we'd be tied. Okay, Philippi's going to move on. So anyway, I'm really upset. The upshot of this work that we're doing now, we're actually starting to kind of roll out a couple of things and get you guys involved. If we want to develop not something that you have to add into your life, not something that you have to do extra, but it's something that happens real time as you live your day. And we chose celebrities as sort of the best examples, because your brain responds to images. Over 90% of what you're processing in the cortex of your brain is visually related. So it has emotional content in there, there's memory in there, there's archetypes, all kinds of fun stuff's in there. And if you follow, just pick any random celebrity. Britney just signed off her kids a couple of days ago. And all these stories that just keep regurgitating, kind of background noise, almost like theme music in your life. You don't think that that's affecting you on a personal level, but it's what surrounds you on a social level. So everyone sort of moves towards this kind of flocking behavior. So we took 100 of these celebrities and divided them up into these four categories based on their images, not their personalities. And maybe, Val, you can make a better distinction of this than I can, because as a psychologist, you understand people look at personality more than they look at the image of the person, and see if you can draw a distinction between primary domain and personality for the new and improved listeners to Nick and Soma.
All right. Well,
a lot of times
you'll hear us talking about some behavior and, oh, this Flip and Philo did such and such. Okay, and it can kind of sound like we're talking about their personality. But what happens is your domain is in place before your personality is developed. So by the age of 4, you have your primary domain right in there, and hopefully you're starting to develop some of the other secondaries. And your personality is built on top of that. So first you start out with the social nervous system, and then the personality comes on top of that. So you will never have two Ontos that have the same personality. They're both Onto. They have similar social nervous system, the way their social rhythm works. So, you know, you're going to get the eye from either one of them. But one might be a little softer. Maybe they have a little Philo in there. They're going to be a little softer on you than the one that has the Exo secondary, who's going to scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, it's a bit like what she's talking about here. There's physical aspects to your the way you biologically developed that will kind of almost like the way your wardrobe affects the way you socialize, the way your physical features develop, the way your eyes work, all of the way you use your body on the inside. Has to do with these things called domains. And these are fixed perspectives. The brain has 4 of them. You pick one of them developmentally, and the other 3 are there to support it. And as you grow into your personality, or the psychological stuff on top of that, that's sort of the window dressing on top of this biological foundation. So that's what we're talking about. And that's why people get nuts into not every Onto is extroverted, not every Exo is introverted. And those generalizations just never fail. They never match up 100%. So you have to really, like I said, and the other thing is that the beautiful thing about somatics is ain't no timeline. Everything's happening in the moment. Happens basically in what's called a 4-second window, which is about how long the average person can maintain eye contact with another person and have a brain-to-brain or a domain-to-domain exchange. And that's really what we're interested in helping you recognize that, make that distinction, make that awareness part of your day so that you don't internalize a whole bunch of background noise, a whole bunch of misinformation, a whole bunch of social conditioning that's really it leads to a lot of people just kind of operating on automatic pilot all the time.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of agita.
And a lot of behaviors that they can't externalize, and then they end up in a fight club, you know, trying to go to some rehab thing, and then they end up on some poor therapist's couch, and the whining begins, and here's the cheese.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the things that happens a lot, like with my mom, who is an Onto, and an Onto she is, I'll point out something going on, and I'll be like, that freaking Onto, look at what she's doing. My mother will always say, well, I don't do that. You know, it's not personality. And again, you know, you're not going to be the same as every other Onto. You might have some similar stuff going on, but it's not personality stuff. There's a lot of soft-spoken Ontos out there. They're well-hidden. Because they don't stand out like the others.
And, again, we're talking kind of lingo here tonight just to try to get you guys used to this because we really want to steer the show towards understanding the basic principles and so that you, as you read the free PDF and you come here each week, we can answer your questions, we can use this as a forum to interact with you guys more, and the guests we come in hopefully will be able to extend that understanding into the performance areas and also into communication skills so that the show becomes kind of a break from the reality shows and all the other stuff that you've been kind of, you know, putting your heads inside. Because we watch these things too, but we watch them for a different purpose. And that's why, you know, like I'll give you an example. We were talking about the other day on the on one of the shows about this new movie, Step Brothers, with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of these man-boy movies they've made. They've sort of like, it's very much like the other guy, what the heck's his name? He's on the S list too. Philo. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, 51st Dates,
you know.
Yeah, oh crap.
Help me out.
It was there. That's gone.
What? Come on, Happy Gilmore. What's his name?
Yeah, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, okay. He perfected sort of the idiot movies, and these guys are doing these man boy movies. But the thing about this particular one, Step Brothers, is that none of the 4 characters in the main character's movie were believable in the role they were playing because they didn't have signatures, which are basically acquired behaviors of the other domains. And it's frustrating when you're watching a movie to know that, okay, these guys are really talented, but they're not believable. And if you don't have that believability in a movie, it becomes sort of a joke very quickly. It's like it breaks down that fourth wall. First 5-10 minutes of The Dark Knight, holy cow, you're in Gotham City. You forget you're in the theater. You forget you're alive. You're just on this wild roller coaster ride because the movie completely engages all four domains right from the get-go. It puts you in a apprehensive position, and it's almost like the way Saving Private Ryan started, some other movies, like even Jaws. It puts you, and this is how movies grab you. They either grab you on a visceral level and create anxiety and create uncertainty, and you forget you're in the chair, or they draw you in on a sensual level, and they draw you right to the picture, and you forget you're in the chair. It's like you forget, that's the whole point, that moment where you forget your reference point, and you're in the story. Is the same thing you do when you go in your head and you're talking to yourself and you believe the narrative in your head. And this is why people get confused with this work, is that it is not something that you have to go digging into the details. You need to orient yourself and be able to shift direction. And then as you shift direction of where you put your focus, the story will then kind of line up underneath you, similar to moving a magnet with the iron filings. And that's why, you know, we talked about that movie the other day as an example of how they were somatically indifferent. They went on persona. They went on more of a kind of a flimsy foundation. And the movie, you know, it's going to make its money, but it's not going to be. It doesn't have as much staying power in the theaters because people don't believe it. Even if it's total farce comedy, it just doesn't fly. It's skit comedy is what they did. So little scenes can work enough to make a trailer out of.
Right.
But unlike Wedding Crashers and other movies, there's no flow of the whole continuity of the story.
That's what I was just going to ask you, if you could name a couple of movies that were cast properly per domain and actually worked.
Yeah,
Wedding Crashers was funny as hell.
Wedding Crashers is perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. Even the movie that Will Ferrell made a bunch of years ago when he's kind of a bit player in it, but Old School was another one of these movies like that. And even Anchorman to some degree was okay. But, you know, Will Ferrell's a follow. So it's like he can't fake the other domains as easy and be believable. He always comes off as sort of a, you know, lightweight.
Well,
you don't
what was that
him.
Other movie he was in that we went to see?
Oh, that ice movie, whatever it was?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Blades of Glory? Was
yeah,
that
horrible.
It?
Yeah, again, it was funny, but there was... Actually, every movie he's made has kind of gone down the Candy Mountain. Every time he's become less and less. The only movie he made that actually really showed any range for him was that Stranger Than Fiction movie. That was amazing. He's
yeah, I never
an EXO.
Saw that.
Oh,
I heard a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he's playing an EXO in that movie. So, I mean, and as you look at the summer movies now, you see the division between the blockbusters and sort of the art house movies. It gets more and more divergent as the summer goes on. Because that's the counter-programming, no different than when they stick, like, you know, 6 hours of Desperate Housewives on when the Super Bowl's on, you know?
Ugh.
You try to appeal to the other audience, that's all.
Yeah.
And, again, you're feeding into these worldviews that you programmed into your brain before you were 4 years old. So it's not like it's a mystery. It's not like it's they're doing it right in front of your nose.
Yeah. You know what movie I really loved that was cast perfectly was that Mr. Woodcock.
Yes, another
that
one.
That was so good. That is like EXO paradise. Love that.
Yes, Billy Bob Thornton, you know, card-carrying EXO, playing an Anto. That's not a stretch.
No,
and,
it was
and
he
so
good.
He has the signatures, yeah. The thing is that he's just as good in Bad Santa for the same reason.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going around the horn here on these movies. I don't know why we got off on this rant tonight. Because
we like movies.
So anyway, like that's the background of what we're trying to get at you guys, is that you're exposed to a lot of things that entertain you, and we want to shift that into a biological context and do something called entrain you. And you do it all the time, you just don't realize it.
Mhm. Yeah, our body's always running this program. We just we're trying to make you aware of it. And then once you're aware of it, you can really use it to your advantage. It's a great tool to get you through your day, deal with people on a different level.
And the whole point of doing that, of course, is that as you get older, you rely much more on your social identity than you do on your personal one. And your life is, the quality of your life is really shaped by being able to expand that awareness and start realizing that you don't, your individuality doesn't stop at your skin. A lot of times people spend second half of their life, you know, tunneling around inside themselves rather than opening up and sharing more because they haven't really organized things for, you know, for that purpose. And know, that's one of the things that I think we can change here on a weekly basis, and hope you guys, you know, can expand that awareness on your own in between, so that we can start having a little more of a dialogue. We've been banging on the gate here for a while and trying to get you guys to participate a little bit. And again, the number 646-478-4847. If you're one of the SAPES that has actually heard our show in the past, we'd love to hear from you, because we're trying to get to the point where we show up here and we have a little bit more of a specific way of getting an idea across a week. So this week, like I said, we're dealing with these dog days and the emptiness that you feel and the drain that goes on this time of the summer and how it affects people across the somatic spectrum here. So we'll just, since it is Philo week, we'll start with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And see, how does a Philo deal with low energy? Oh, my God, they're going to leave 2-1.
That could be one way.
Yeah, I'm just top of the eighth, Mets down 3-2. Unbelievable. So when a Philo drains their energy, they feel vulnerable, and they feel basically also completely in a state of almost like panic, because if they can't help somebody else, that's their first priority. So you take the average, you know, yoga mom that's out there now that's trying to get things done or whatever, and they're feeling that drain from the dog days, their body's going in repair, and their mind is saying, gotta get this done, gotta get that done, and you just see them. I just was over at Stop and Shop, I saw a bunch of them online, basically hands on their hips, hands on their knees, look like people that have been running, like, you know, a marathon, and they don't know how to stop themselves. They don't know how to condition themselves for recovery, so they push themselves past the point of no return. And a lot of times with Philos, it's not so much the physical injuries, it's the emotional exhaustion that surfaces on them this time of the year, because they're not built for that. Think of a baby that's overtired. You know, it's exhausted, but it can't sleep. And
yeah,
the restlessness
builds
up. And when Philos get like that, they get frickin' whiny.
Yep.
Brett Favre got off that plane on Sunday night. Now, I know he's going through a whole bit different tunnel, but as he walked up the plane, I said, that's one cranky Philo.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see that he's, even though he's waving and doing his best, I'm okay, the quotes he's saying are vicious. They don't love me anymore, basically what he's saying. You know, look at the way they treated me. It's drama, drama, drama. So that comes up this time of the year a lot. And that's sort of the cue. If you're listening in the audience and you profile yourself on NakedSoma.com using our self-profiler, read the narratives. The Philo story is, I am because I can bond. If I can bond, I'm alive. And that's pretty much when they can't bond, they feel cut off, they feel vulnerable, and they feel this sense of desperation to reach out to others, and they get cranky. Okay, so that's right there. We took care of 7 out of 10 of you out there. So let's go around the horn and look at the other three. The Ontos are a peculiar case, because when they get depleted, instead of getting defensive, they get more offensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no passive-aggressive Onto on the planet, so they get absolutely hyper-vigilant is really the term. They become sort of almost like a smoldering volcano that's about to blow.
Yeah, they don't miss a trick either.
And like I said, when they're depleted, it's almost like an animal cornered. So where the Philo curls up and goes into sort of flight and goes into kind of play dead and feels just basically it's like a turtle on its back, the Onto will struggle and fight and scratch and claw and gnaw at your feet in order to get out of that. So that's a big contrast, but that's 80% of the population. There's those two reactions. And what do? For the ones that are flat on their back, you know, they'll give them the depression medications and things like that, and the ones that are freaking out, they give them the anxiety meds. That's pretty much what we were talking about last week with David Goodman, how they basically react to the adaptation rather than understand the cause of that. And then the ones that don't show up as much, only 20% of the population, the ECOs, when they're exhausted, they pretty much think that everything's fine because they are used to having a wide variation of energy. They never stay at their peak or their valley very long. They're constantly oscillating, and they go through a faster reset, so they don't need to recharge as long as the other two. And also, when they are recharging, they can actually multitask. So it's sort of like the horse that sleeps on its feet kind of a thing. That's sort of the eco. So basically, we're sort of the plane that refuels while it's still in the air. And it's an emotional reserve that they have. So they'll break down physically and mentally. So they get short-term memory loss. They forget where their keys are. They get kind of like absent-minded. They might get a little clumsy. They might be knocking into walls. But they just kind of keep going.
You just described me this week.
Yeah, and they don't know how to stop either. They don't know how to crash. So basically, uh-huh. Again, this is one of those things that's a conditioning problem in the eco. So this time of the year, if you profile yourself to be eco and you're more of an emotional person, more interested in connecting with people on an emotional level, you have to sort of keep a little bit of a governor up that to not let those irritable phyllos and those irascible ontos too close to the fire, because you will get burned. You will be the one that will get the ire of both those two, because they're seeking that ladder to get out of the pool, and that ladder is you. So that's three of the four. The only other one that's left is called the exos, and the exos, again, because they don't have a wide variation in their energy, they kind of hum along like a barge on a river. When they get depleted, it's as if something's been broken down. It's like a chain falls off the bike. So they completely tank. It's like, you know, Sam wasn't at work this month. Like, you know, they disappear. And so they become absent. They don't cry out for help. They don't seek help. They don't become defensive. They don't become unstable. They simply stop, Brahmable. And
yeah,
so
stop and pass out.
Yeah, and someone took mm-hmm. the key out of the ignition, and that's it. They're just going to sleep it off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Now what?
Well, it's 4-2. I don't believe it. This is like a nightmare. We're playing like the worst team in the league, and I'm watching a nightmare unfold here in Shea Stadium. Okay, pressing on. So those four things are going to be happening on a much more intense and a much more frequent level the next couple of weeks till the 16th when we cross over and we get closer to the second half of this cycle. So looking at that, that's like I said, those are physiological sort of milestones and way to orient yourself. Say, which one of those four experiences am I having? Do I feel more defensive? Do I feel more like I'm kind of like a short fuse? Do I feel more unstable physically and mentally, like forgetful and a little clumsy? Or do I just simply feel like I got to pull over and tank and I just got to drop down? Now, no matter what your primary domain is, you might have, you know, an engine blow in one of those secondary domains, and then those behaviors show up. They'll never stay as central to you as the one that biologically roots you, though, but it doesn't help when one of the other of your supportive domains goes and blows a tire because it takes all four to move the vehicle down the road, especially if you're an adult over the age of 25 and you're interacting with other people on these levels. So just notice those behaviors in yourself and see when you witness that being demonstrated to you by somebody else, just realize they need support there. So the tanker that's flat on his back needs exo support, so they need structural support. So you say to them, okay, you know, what can I do for you? What favor can I do? What task can I get done for you? That's the way you help them. The emotionally unstable eco, you know, they need a good laugh. They need to be taken out of their routine. They need to be basically pulled out of the merry-go-round. And so you take them out and break them out and say, you know, we're going to go out tonight. We're going to do something fun. And they go, ha-ha, fun. And they go, they'll follow you.
I just saw your face on that.
Exactly. The ontos that are coming at you like Godzilla, their biggest issue is that they don't know how to express weakness at all. So you have to say, when they're coming at you with that, what's behind that is fear. So you have to repeat what they're saying in a very kind of flat tone and say, from what you're telling me, comma, and then you get what's behind the need. So with them, it's because they're coming at you so like a cornered animal, it's about putting them in a space where they feel like they're valid in what they're feeling, but they're also going to be verifiable. They're going to be able to see the truth for themselves. So you have to hold up a mirror to those guys, and you have to basically put them in a context where they can actually see themselves better and get out of the damn way when you're doing it. So you have to say, so what you're telling me is basically you have to act like a tape recorder and a video player. You have to show them what it is that they're telling you over and over and over again. It takes lion taming lessons to do sometimes, but that's what gets them to ground themselves, because it's almost like when your ears can't pop on a plane, they can't hear themselves speaking. They can't hear themselves expressing themselves. They just basically, it's a scorched earth wherever they go. And then the phyllos that are vulnerable and feeling that sense of reaching out, the biggest thing with them when they're depleted is that they have to know that even though they're trying to help, it's time for them to receive. And it's very difficult for them to understand that. So you have to sort of out-philo them in a way and say, I see you're trying to help me. Let me get it this time. You get me next time. And basically establish an exchange that isn't about one level of transactions. It's two or three checker moves down the board, and then they'll actually let you kind of help them. And sometimes when they're depleted, they have a hard time receiving help. So those are the four that you want to look for the next couple of weeks. And as we get into the later part of the summer, start getting ready for fall, we'll go over some more of these things now. But it's one of the things about profiling work that only comes with more exposure and going through and noticing how the biological world, lunar rhythms, seasonal rhythms, are affecting your behavior. Because most people think it's woo-ha,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
No, that's true. Yep. Yeah, and as far as seasonal stuff, we just had Lusana, which is the fire festival on the pagan calendar, which is August 1st, 2nd, somewhere around there. And saw a lot of things crashing and burning around then. That was a tough couple of days there. And it's actually a celebration and hopes for an abundant harvest season. So there's a little anxiety building up there to see what's going to happen in the fall.
And by the way, all the Met fans watching this in replay, the guy that hit the home run in this inning hasn't hit a home run since he was a freshman in college. But he saved one for tonight. I thought they were going to say that since he was in Little League. Usually, it's amazing how the Mets can time those things, but...
You must want to chew a hole through the TV.
There's nothing left in my liver with this team. There's nothing left. Oh,
God.
Yeah. And for you guys that are interested in that, you can go to, it's called somaspace.org/subwaysomas.html. Check out the profiles we did on the Yankees and the Mets. It's also up on Naked Soma Nation. You can just click through. It's one of the demos we did about the domains a while back. Might as well mention the show we're going to be on tomorrow. I don't have this stuff in front of me, though.
I know what we're doing. All right. So tomorrow at 3 o'clock our time here in New York, we're going to be calling in. We're going to be guests on Phil Valentine's show, which is a syndicated show. It's on 37 stations there across the United States. And he's a conservative right-wing guy who has invited us on the show to profile the presidential candidates.
Mm.
So you're not going to want to miss that. And because he's on in so many different areas, the best thing to do is to go to philvalentine.com. It's philvalentine.com. And then there's some kind of link there that can either play it live or it'll tell you when the next show is on.
Yeah, it should be interesting. It's a 15-20-minute interview, but the whole point is that we're really trying to get the word out about the S-List, because the whole point of the S-List is that I started to get it up on the main site tonight, is not so much to read the PDF that's there to get you started. It's the next wave of this, which we're affectionately calling the S-List Manifesto, and that's where you sapes get to add your little page to the Book of Life and contribute your images, your videos, all the things you do on the web that guide your behavior. So we get to profile your family, your friends, your boss, all things like that, and give you sort of an insider's guide to be able to navigate your day a little more. And like I said, this is one of those things. It's like a potato chip. Once you bite of the Soma pie, it becomes one of these things where it because it's so biologically rooted in you to sort like this, but you're not aware of it. It's operating below what you're able to pay attention to. And then once you wake up to it and have this sort of filter kind of install itself, it streamlines the way that you look at the world a lot more. It's almost like, you go from having, no traffic laws and everyone driving willy-nilly to having the paved roads and having lanes and having a sort of way to navigate the traffic neurologically better. And that's what we want. We want people to contribute those things and be able to apply it personally. And then we're also going to be bringing our experts in, as we're going to affectionately call them, X-listers, like a David Goodman we had on last week's show and some of the other guys we've had on, to write some essays and stuff about some of the principles of profiling that we've been able to cobble together and extend them into the work that they're doing. So we really want to create, like I said, kind of a twofold community here where you're aware of it, you're using it, you're playing around, you're having fun with it, and you're also applying it personally and professionally so that this could become a big, fat, hairy deal and Val and I can enjoy early retirement.
Oh, how nice would that be?
Yeah, well, by 70. You know. So,
earlier than death would be nice.
Yeah. Just watching Nico almost get hit in the head and he popped up to second base defending himself with his bat.
Aye, aye,
unbelievable.
Aye.
You can't pitch. This guy gets pitched inside. His head almost turns around like The Exorcist. So now I'm doing somatic baseball.
Well, like I said before, I actually, you know, I'm not much to watching sports except for boxing and mixed martial arts and stuff like that.
You like watching fighting.
I like the ass-kicking stuff, but the domains make all of the other stuff a lot of fun, all the team games fun, because you're looking at the social interactions and you're looking at the domains on the field. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like right now, you know, they got an Anto on the mound and we got an Eco up. Eighth inning, it's two runs. I think it's actually, it's Heath Bell. This guy used to be a Met. He hates the Mets. Oof. Yeah, it is Heath Bell. Fat bastard. And he could never pitch in Shea Stadium when he pitched for us. So he's in Shea Stadium now, and he is practically needing salt and pepper between pitches. He is rubbing and chewing and gnawing at the ball and fidgeting. This is what happens when Antos get, like, freaked out. They get very kind of, like, their fine motor skills get very kind of acute. So it's just funny to watch him, because if the Eco was up there paying attention, he'd step out of the box and make him cook a little bit.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you need to... Somebody's got to hire you.
Anyway, so that's going on over here in the background here. So as you go through a lot of stuff, like I said, you can look at... We did a show a couple weeks ago about sports and entertainment. We had Sid Rosenberg on talking about how his show's evolved, and it's become sort of a blend between the two worlds. And performers in general really benefit from having this awareness, because it takes a lot of guesswork out of knowing where you're going to put your attention, how you're going to, because you can embody these behaviors without having to know them in your head, just by changing the way you walk, changing the way you breathe, things like that. And it shifts the entire perspective internally. So there's a way to use it physically and ways to use it internally, and also there's also a spiritual side to it that every once in a while we take a walk down Pagan Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And discuss that stuff. But that gets into some of the cosmic stuff we were talking about before, with the seasons and the symbols and all that weird stuff. So, like I said, we love this stuff. We do it every day, whether you're listening or not, you faggot archivers.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do with you?
I'm so disgusted.
Pops up
the center. Too out.
You need a beer.
I need more than one beer. Trust me.
All right, well, how about a six-pack?
That would call me Tuesday after that. My tolerance has gotten pretty lame. Oh boy.
Well, no,
so anyway,
now you're a cheap date then.
Believe me, I'm cheap everywhere. So, all right, I guess our friends from Monday night didn't sidle over as they anticipated doing,
well,
but
they may be listening.
They could be out there tuning in. That's right.
Sean, are you there? Sean,
yeah,
you should
there.
Call us.
Yeah, call us. I want to know what's going on your side of the show.
How about
anybody?
Will?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He joined the Naked Summer Nation the last couple
of
days.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth in the comments with him. If you take a look at that. Yeah, that's been interesting.
So let's get some...
We have a caller.
No way.
Really? Yeah. Shall
we
I hit
a
it?
Caller, we have a caller, and Shinida just got a hit. So Tiger is on base. Go ahead.
Bada bing.
You're over Naked Summer. Hello.
Yeah, this is William Kern.
Hey!
I've been trying to...
Did we just divine you?
What's that?
Did we just divine you out of the ether? That was weird.
Well, that would be one interpretation, and I wouldn't necessarily contest it.
Okay, man.
Yeah, so I wanted you guys to know I was listening. I see the chat room's not really working, or at least I can't seem to get into it if it is.
Well,
I didn't want you guys to think that I wasn't coming, because I find all this very, very interesting. So... Can I ask you, did you guys see the message I just typed in there? I guess you didn't.
Let me see. Wait a minute. You know, sometimes Blog Talk doesn't always...
the features here at Blog Talk are
I know. I've been doing a segment for about 6 months, so I really understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a pioneering kind of a thing. Yeah.
Let me
yeah,
see.
We've had just about everything but a fire break out while we're on the air. We've had the switchboard go down, the server lock up, other shows bleed into our show.
My favorite was that one. That was just...
Yeah.
Wow.
But on the other hand, though, you know, on the other hand, if you look at it this way, that the capacity to do what's possible for the amount that it costs us is...
It's fantastic.
It is really a tremendous leap forward. But on the other hand... It can drive one insane.
You have to just expect the least and get what you get.
Yeah, it's a short drive for us, too. So, see, now I'm trying, still trying to get into the chat room here, and my computer's mocking me. But
I'm telling you, it's a problem. So I wanted to ask you guys a question, if I could.
Yeah,
sure.
Since I have you here.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, if you were to compare what you're doing right now and the kind of information that you're trying to... express. What would you compare it to from the past in terms of philosophy, religion, or science? Do you see what I mean? Like, you know, because I'm sure you would probably agree with me that obviously it's not the first time people have tried to grapple with these things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, philosophy has always been in a jerkwater position. It's always found itself sort of at the white trash at the wedding, you know, sitting by the kitchen door.
It's somatics. Somatics.
Yeah, somatics is the science that deals with the relationship of self and surroundings, and that's something that Thomas Hanna kind of coined back in the early 70s when all the humanistic psychology was going on. Everybody was up, doing their esting.
This is like an Alan Watts-related kind of a thing, or it's...
Yeah, those guys are in there. All those guys in the early 70s that were doing all that stuff, Fritz Perls, all those people, the Gestalt people were around. But he was the one that put together the biological aspects of it, the developmental stuff that came out of the Feldenkrais camp and, you know, some of the other people that were doing things along those lines. And then by the time the 80s hit and everybody was talking mind-body and everybody understood these things, then it became much more about the spiritual dimension of it, like, you know, what you get with certain yoga asanas, things like that. But it was always physical. And we had a bunch of people on from the somatic community early on doing the show, and they always related to either early developmental stuff, you know, special needs kids that need their somatic awareness, and people that have had post-traumatic stress or they have degenerative conditions, you know.
Right.
So it became this sort of a kind of a quasi-clinical modality instead of something that you're using every single day because we look at it as applied body language where if I understand what my body is telling me just based on its reactions, you know, gut reactions, physical, internal stuff, and also how I'm communicating to you, how I'm using my body to communicate – all of a sudden, I'm much more. It's like the person that's able to drive in all conditions.
You know something? I am literally afraid to find out what this might tell me. What you're saying that it was relegated to like a small area that it should be something more applicable and all that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what I was talking about was, I'm talking about thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. The things that people were thinking about back then. I mean, now I guess it's like you guys are applying in a much more scientific way and a much more method of approach way that somebody can get their hands on and actually do something concrete.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, we're trying to make it a practical thing that can work basically instead of having to go to the practitioner, go through the whole "what the hell's wrong with you" thing, and then go plug up all the holes in the fence.
Oh yeah,
and
I absolutely agree with that.
It's
sensible.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I look at it as a vicious cycle. People rely on intervention less so than they rely on interaction, and I think there's way more more heartfelt therapy going on at the 24/7 diners around me right now than there are in psychology offices.
Yeah,
where the therapeutic hour gets, you know, oh, sorry, that's all the time.
I heard Val talking about that. I think I heard you talking about it, Val, maybe on another show that you were saying that you didn't think that going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist is very useful most of the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
I just need a sympathetic voice would be just as good.
Exactly. Exactly, because especially because people going to therapy don't really want to do a lot of work. They just want to get stuff off their chest. So,
they don't want to make progress because that's really – and that's what I'm talking about. When I think about if I were to apply what you're talking about, I would literally be afraid of what I would find out. I'm not joking about that because I would have to act.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to act. You know, basically, I just sit working 77, 78 hours 80 hours a week.
Oh,
I hardly ever
like
get
that
out of the chair.
I'm really?
Here
I
like 7 days
fun.
A week. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just stating a fact.
Yeah,
my life
is
in a very weird kind of a pigeonhole right now, and I have to keep going now. I can't stop.
I understand the
important.
Sled dog mentality. Sounds like me. Oh, my God, this is kind of scary.
Yep.
I would like to be wrong. I would like to be wrong. But I think, anyway.
One of those things is that when will you know you're done? You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, when we have enough revenue, I guess, for me to survive.
There you go. See, you're chasing. Oh, my God, I'm talking to my shadow.
It's not just me. There's a whole group of people that are involved with this project that it's really up to me to keep it together. It's not just about my ego or anything like that.
Wow.
I think it's a project that needs to survive. I feel a real sense of mission in a way that takes me almost out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
when you're driven by something like that, it's called greater than self. When you have that sense of contribution that you're actually impacting a lot of people's lives, then the work becomes effortless. But when you look over your shoulder and go, my God, I'm spending, 100 hours a week at this, then your efficiency is not, being utilized as best. And that's why I'm saying being able to switch throughout the day, being able to take your 20-minute breaks and be able to find that two-hour window of the day when you're at your peak performance and get 80% of your work done in that 2 hours.
I live down the block from the beach.
Okay.
All right, when I go to the beach, I try to go to the beach every few days at least.
Mm-hmm.
When I go down there, when I'm sitting, I'll sit there and I'll read about 10 or 15 pages about a book, of a book, say, on ancient Roman history or something like this. And I will start thinking about what I have to do and how much I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot enjoy myself at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I have got to go back. And I go back and I don't, I just come right in and I start working. Anyway, I'm in a very weird state. But at the same time, I would say, physically, I'm not in very good condition. All I do is work, and that I don't think about anything but working. Don't get any exercise really at all. I'm not fat at all because I forget about eating. Like I'm working, and I don't even think about eating. And then suddenly realize I have got to eat something. I've been sitting here for 9 hours.
Yeah, well, you forgot your body. See, like I said, this is what's happened. The culture's gotten so hyper-visual in the way that it processes because anything that's visual gives you a sensation of speed, and because that's the fastest process.
No, listen. I realize what
you're
saying.
That's why you forget your body's
behind
underneath all that.
It's not really graphic. We're just talking about text here. I'm talking about editing. It's just editing, basically.
Doesn't matter.
Balance, of course, and videos also.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm sitting there and looking at a kaleidoscope of color or anything like that, fascinated, or porn or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a matter of, for example, if we translate one article from Arabic, which we did day before yesterday, now it's posted up there, it took me 7 hours after it was translated by someone else, who's an Arabic translator, to check, copy edit, knock it into shape, talk to the translator once or twice in the midst of it, find videos, find photos, headlines, captions, you name it, package and post. Mm-hmm. But that's one article.
Yeah. Yep.
And
but
Arabic's
the
worst.
Thing.
It's extreme. Arabic is an extreme case. But
mm-hmm.
the other languages take less. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But,
no, I'm just saying. But this is the kind of, like I said, when you set it up that you have such a dense, information dense life. I mean, one of the books that we really kind of put on the shelf and put a gold star on was Timothy Ferris's book. Work a 4-hour week, I think it was the call. 4-hour work week. And he talks about going on here, because he's laughing, because he needs to work 9 hours today.
I would like a 4-hour work week, I would.
He gives you a prescription there for what's called a low-information diet. This guy only checks his email like twice a month.
I want to get there. I'd love to. I'd love to get rid of my phone. I'd love to never have to answer it. I'm not...
He gives you a lot of strategies to do that. He did it himself. He was running his own nutraceutical company out of San Francisco area, and he was working 110, 115 hours a week, answering orders of different time zones and whatnot. And he kind of struck a little bit of he's another eco, and he found a way around it. And he basically is living a life now that if you go to his website, the guy's on a different continent every week, it seems.
Right. Well,
and he's constantly learning new skills. He's living an open door life, and that's what we really want for people. So that's one of the things I definitely say. If you do nothing when you walk out on the beach this summer, try and find Tim's book and take just a slice of his tactics out of there, and I think it would dramatically reduce your work stress.
All right, the 4-hour work week.
That part about reading, the reading faster part in that book is so good. You wouldn't think that you'd have something like that in a book like
All
this.
Right. Sounds great.
He's dug under many rocks, that guy. That guy is he's a good resource. He's one of our Soma stars, actually, from last summer.
That's right.
Actually, remember, right?
That's right.
He's one of your Soma stars.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
he's able to use all four awarenesses in harmony.
Right.
Well, most of us just develop one, maybe one and a half.
Right. I got it. Well, look, I could take up all your time probably for hours and hours, so I'll just stop. But, I think it's groundbreaking work, and
very excellent,
and I'll probably subject myself to a lot more of it, I would imagine.
Yeah,
try and
tune in next week. We have a really good guest next week that I think
Hello. Val's
got the information for. We'll go over it now as we wind down here. But thanks for joining us tonight on
All right.
Naked Soma.
Thanks for doing what you do. We'll talk to you.
We'll see you on Naked Soma Nation.
Okay.
Yeah. Go read the S-list now. Take care, man.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, who do we have on this week? We have, hold on. Who the heck is it?
Who's what?
I know it's, I'm looking for my email.
It's Cherry Florence. I know she's, I don't know the name of her lab down there, but she
yeah,
had a special needs son. She wrote a book called The Maverick Mind. And she's a speech pathologist researcher that used her son's experience to really make some groundbreaking moves in her field. And she's been kicking around our stuff for a couple of weeks, and she wants to come on the show next week and offer us some of her stuff. So you got the information about her?
Yeah, her, let's see, it's www.drflorence.com. So if you guys want to take a look, it's Brain Engineering Labs at Trump Plaza in New York. Take a look at her stuff so that you guys are prepared to call in next week and ask her some questions. She's pretty wild. She's got some good stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. And just to repeat again, we were on TV Talk this week. It's posted up on NakedSomination.com. We're about 40 minutes.
Right,
really,
Sean Daly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sean was nice enough. Sean Daly, is that his real name? Sean O'Hara, Sean O'Mac, whatever.
Well, the show is Sean O'Mac, yeah.
Okay. And the good part about that was that he gave us about 40 minutes to really give you guys a good overview of the domain. So you can check that out on Naked Summer Nation. Just look at the little interviews we kind of highlighted up there. And again, tomorrow we're going to be on at 3 o'clock Eastern on this Phil Valentine happy hour, which should be interesting, to say the least, talking politics. So, we kind of covered the gamut tonight. Again, biggest thing we want everyone to do this week as we move through August and get ready for a real push in September is to get on NakedSomination.com, download the S-List book, figure out which one of your domains is the primary domain, start looking at that list of people on there, and understand, make those distinctions about those images, because I'm telling you, it's guiding a lot of your behaviors that you've been trying to shed on my adjusting table, on Val's Reiki table, on couches and chairs and all kinds of other therapeutic environments. In vain, and you could make a lot of, if you understand the way the brain's designed and the way it drinks in its social environment as an extension of itself, this stuff becomes pretty powerful and can really transform a lot of things in life, and it gives you an avenue to really pursue that most people aren't aware of. And again, it's entrainment through entertainment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Do I have a couple of seconds here to run my contest audio
again?
Oh,
go ahead. Yes,
all right.
Run it again.
All right. Don't forget now. You guys have to figure out what the heck's going on here.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Oh, God. What is that?
It's a Leoplerodon, Charlie. Magical Leoplerodon.
Get a fucking haircut. Look like your mother fucked a monkey.
How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me.
Good riddance, fuckface. So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
You see, motherfuckers, vagina power is a motherfucking revolution, damn it. We're going to have to offend somebody.
Fifa, filia, strumming on the old banjo.
I'm not even close to sober after that. I will bid you adieu the next week at 9 o'clock here for so... For all of us here at Naked Soma, travel light, everyone.
Yes, please.
Hey, everyone, how's it going?
here watching TV.